Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this morning from the scripture part that we have been reading, John 21. And I read especially as the text verse for the sermon, the part in the middle of verse 17, the middle of verse 17, where we read the following words: Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. The theme for the sermon is, lovest thou me? 3 points of attention. First point, love. Second point, searching. And the third point, service. Lovest thou me? 3 points, love, searching, and service. Beloved congregation, there was a girl, and she had an unbelieving father. And this girl had lost her mother, this child had lost her mother while she was still very young, 6 months. And she loved the Lord Jesus. And she said to her father, Father, do you love the Lord Jesus? And he said, how could I? How can I love someone that I cannot see? And she was quiet, so he was glad that he could answer her in a way that it seemed that she couldn't answer. But then, after a while, she said to him, well, Dad, how old was I when Mom died? He said, 6 months. Why? She said, well, you've told me about her, how she was, and you always said that I should feel love for my mom that passed away. So I didn't know her. I did never see her consciously, but I have that love in my heart. So couldn't you love the Lord Jesus while you have not seen him? And that man, he bowed his head, and tears came from his eyes. And I was thinking about that when I was reading in the letters of Peter, where we read in the first chapter of the first letter, verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Isn't that wonderful? I hope you experience that love in your heart. Andrew and Malia and Allison, Rachel, Anna. So great, so amazing that we sinful people can know this invisible God in the Lord Jesus Christ as a gracious God. Yeah, that's the question that the Lord Jesus is asking to Peter before he was writing this letter, after he had denied him and the Lord resurrected. The Lord in his goodness and his grace came to his apostles, especially he revealed himself already to Peter, and now he's coming. We have heard a few weeks ago about that they were catching fish the whole night and no result. What a lesson. We cannot do anything in our own strength. And when they were obedient to the word of the Lord, it was full in abundance. And now the Lord is coming to Peter personally. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon. The Lord is using the name that he had before he was an apostle. Peter, it means rock. And now he's using the name Simon. Maybe remembering how he is in himself. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Oh, what a wonderful dinner they have. I hope we sometimes have those sort of dinners. That he can speak so from heart to heart about the Lord. About the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have many conversations that are empty, but to have such a conversation that we touch hearts, that the Lord Jesus himself is there. Oh, what a blessed time they have here together. And the Lord says to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? It becomes clearer in this history that the Lord is taking Peter back to what he has done as he denied the Lord in the last night before the Lord Jesus died at the cross. The Lord remembering Peter to what he said. Lord, if they would all forsake thee, I will not. So Peter had himself on a very high level. He thought, well, could be that everyone will deny the Lord, but I will not. I have so much love in my heart. I will be with the Lord, even if I would have to die. That's what he said. And now he was the one that denied the Lord. And then the Lord is taking him back to that what happened. It's not that the Lord wants Peter to experience pain. Although he will experience. It's so painful to be remembered about what we have done in the past. I think you, if you know the Lord, if you know grace, you will know yourself. Calvin says in his Institutes, those both go together. To know the Lord and to know yourself. And that is becoming deeper and more. And then we all will be ashamed when we think back about what we have done against the Lord. But isn't it useful that we not forget about it? Although we need to have that knowledge of forgiveness. And the Lord is willing to give us that assurance of forgiveness. But Paul didn't forget about his sins, that he was persecuting the congregation. And he said, I'm the greatest sinner. So it made him very humble. But he also says, but to me is grace given. Those things, they can go together. I think they will go together. And the Lord is taking Peter back, not to that he likes it to make Peter experience pain, but to bless him spiritually. It's so useful, it's so important that we see whom we are and that we acknowledge it so that we can be restored. And that we can express again whom the Lord is to us. And the Lord is asking that question, lovest thou me? Isn't that a simple question? I think everybody can understand that question. A child can understand it. And everybody here can understand that question. Lovest thou me? Is there love for the Lord Jesus in your life? I could ask a lot of difficult questions. I could ask you about justification. Is there sanctification in your life? I could ask you all sort of things. And maybe you would say, well, I'm not so sure. I don't know for sure. It's not so clear to me everything. But if I ask that question, do you love the Lord Jesus? You wouldn't be able to say, you couldn't say, I do not understand what you're talking about. Even a child will be able to say, well, I love my mother. Isn't it? A child can understand that question. And isn't this the heart of what we need in our lives? To love the Lord Jesus? What does it help us if we have a lot of things but we do not love the Lord Jesus? If our hearts are never burning for Him, you could do a lot of things. You could do a lot of things in the service of the Lord. You could donate a lot of money for the church, and all those things are fine and good, but maybe you can explain all sort of things about spiritual life, but still, this question is coming this morning to you very personally, to everybody of us. If we love the Lord Jesus Christ. So answer that question in your heart. Do you love the Lord Jesus? When you confess the faith this morning, do you love the Lord Jesus? When you have been sitting here for maybe 60 years, 70 years. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, we would be impressed if we see such people speaking prophecies, having such a strong faith, having all knowledge. Wow, this is a great person. What a useful person in the service of the Lord, we would say. And now Paul says in the letter to the Corinthians, and if I have not charity, I am nothing. So when the Lord Jesus is asking that question to Peter, he's really coming to the heart of the case. Lovest thou me? You can say a lot of things, but still that question is coming to you, to me. Do I love the Lord Jesus? Can be a lot of talking. There was a boy who was talking to a girl and said, oh, I love you so much, I would like to do everything for you, even go through the fire. And then when he left, he said, I come back next week if it will not be raining. So it seemed that he was not even willing to go through the rain. So his behavior showed that his words were not true. And that can happen in the church. We can say a lot of words, we can do a lot of talking, but is it true? Do we really, really love the Lord? That's the question. It's coming to Peter now. Yeah. And Peter, he's answering. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. You hear some humbling in his answer, isn't it? He was not so high as he was before. He wouldn't answer it in the way it was asked. The Lord asked, lovest thou me more than these? And he doesn't say, yea, I loved thee more than these. No, he will not say that anymore. The Lord has humbled him. Humbled him so much that he says, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. So he is asking the Lord in a way to say, Lord, I'm not so sure of my own heart, but thou knowest that I love thee. That's wonderful. The Lord is humbling us. That's making us useful in the hands of the Lord. And we cannot see it here in the translation, but in the Greek, there are written different words for love. The Lord Jesus is, in his question, asking a word that means to love with a sacrificing love. Agape. A love that is willing to sacrifice itself. If you have that love, you are willing to sacrifice for the other one. Agape. And Peter, when he's answering, he's not using that word. There's another word, filio, that means a love like friends, a deep connection, a deep attachment, but not that sacrificing love. And that's the word that is Peter using when he's answering the question. Yeah. When we speak about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we read in the Word about that love, always that word agape is used. Agape. Sacrifice. That's what the Lord Jesus did at the cross. He literally sacrificed himself to save sinners that deserve curse and eternal wrath of God. And he took it upon himself to save them. And that is the source. That is the root of loving the Lord Jesus. If that question is coming, like this coming to us this morning, if that love's in your heart, there's only that love if you see something of his love. Like John is writing in his letter, we love him because he loved us first. If you see that he was willing to give his life, to suffer so deep because I sinned against him, because I deserve that, for such a wretched sinner as I am, for such an enemy with so much resistance and so much pride in my heart, and he was so willing to give himself. Oh, if you see that, you will love him. That's the way to receive that love, by faith, to see what you deserve, and that he was taking it upon himself to make you free of that punishment. Peter, he's not using that word. No, he's using, we could say, a lower word of love. He wouldn't deny that he loved the Lord. He loves the Lord. But, oh, to sacrifice yourself. He didn't do that. And the Lord is repeating the question 3 times. And why is the Lord doing that? Isn't it too painful for Peter? It's clear. He denied the Lord 3 times, swearing and cursing. And he didn't know that man. Isn't this very painful? Yeah, but how painful was it to the Lord Jesus to be denied by his disciple? Wasn't it much deeper? So, you know, when we experience pain because the Lord brings us our sins in remembrance, we have to see how terrible sin is to the Lord, how much it is dishonoring him. I hope we see it. It will make us hate sin with all what is in us, to flee sin, to hate it, because it's dishonoring my Savior, my Lord, my God. I cannot bear that. It's making me so sad when I fall in sin. It's making my heart so dark, taking comfort of the communion with the Lord from me. I hate it. I run away from it. But my flesh loves it. And my flesh wants to sin. My flesh has to die, my old nature. Lovest thou me? It's such a searching thing that the Lord is doing here to Peter. And that is good. The Lord is asking him that question 3 times. And like I said, not that he likes it that Peter will experience pain, but to restore him. It ever happened that there was a couple that came to the consistory and they wanted to marry. And then the consistory started to talk about what they had done because they have lived together for some years in a sinful way. Not married and still living together as a husband and a wife would live together. So the consistory was talking about it to them and said, well, you know, that is wrong what you have done. So we cannot marry you without you acknowledge this sin. And we cannot have that wedding service. And they became upset. They said, well, you know, would you say that we are worse than others are? And, you know, others will do it in a hidden way. And but then the consistory explained to them, it's not to do you wrong, but it is to help you, that there could be forgiveness, and that it could be clear to the whole village that there is a new start when they know you were repenting and confessing and forgiven. The Lord wants to restore people. He had done a thing and, you know, it could take the boldness from him. He had to go out to be an apostle, to preach, to proclaim the gospel. But how could he do that? How could he warn people against sinning and denying the Lord? Well, there was in his remembrance what he had done. So now the Lord is coming to him to restore him, mentioning to him three times that question, lovest thou me? And then giving him a task in his service. So the Lord wants him to know, to be honest, to admit what he had done. And then to know him, that it was forgiven, and that he is willing to use him in his service as an apostle to feed the sheep, the lambs, and that it would be clear to the other apostles. So in a certain way, the Lord gave him his authority back as an apostle, that he had spoiled himself by denying the Lord. So the Lord is restoring him in this way, by searching Peter with those questions. And yeah, and that's what has to happen in our lives. It's such a useful thing to search our lives, to search our hearts. If there are things in our lives that we continue in and that are wrong, and that we in the light of the Word search our hearts and admit it, confess it to the Lord, so that we would repent and know, but those things are forgiven, and that there will be boldness to be used in the service of the Lord. What a blessing it is. It seems that some people don't like that searching of the hearts and their lives. But it's scriptural. Search thyself if thou art in the faith. Our hearts are so deceitful, deceiving ourselves. And we can find so many tricks to continue in sinful ways and say, well, you know, probably it's not totally right, but everybody does it, and well, at the end, you know, I will be forgiven. It I still can confess, and one day I will change it. But in the meantime, I'm not judging. Could be there is real grace and that you are backsliding, going astray, and oh, that is so bad. Read Psalm 32, how dark it was for David after backsliding. The hand of the Lord was heavy upon him, so don't say, well, it's not so bad. Could be. Or there's no real grace, and cry out for grace to the Lord if you're thinking in such a way. But does it not take your boldness, the freedom to speak to others for their salvation? Oh, that we would search our hearts, that we would allow the words to search our hearts and lives. And it is painful. But if you see how terrible sin is, we still will appreciate it when it is done. We can appreciate a friend that is coming to us and speaking in an honest way. If we really know grace and we experience that, and that person is used by the Lord, that iron is sharpening iron. A scriptural expression for making things more clear in your life, showing things, searching your life, so that you will live a life according to the words, following the Lord Jesus, taking your cross. The Lord is asking at him one time, a second time. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. The same words are used. The Lord is using that deep word of self-sacrificing love, and Peter is using that word of a love of friends, that friends can have. And then he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And then the Lord Jesus is using that lower word. Peter, do you have that love of friendship to me? And he said unto him, and Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? So there can be two reasons that Peter was grieved. The Lord asked him the third time. And he already answered it two times. Isn't it enough? Does the Lord not believe him when he's confessing this? And yeah, there can even be three reasons. The second reason can be it remembered him very strongly to what he had done. That he denied the Lord three times. But the third reason can be that the Lord now is using that other word that he used to answer the Lord. So he said, yes, Lord, I love thee, but I dare not say in that sacrificing, loving way, but I have love in my heart. And now the Lord says, but do you really have that love in your heart, Peter? Do you even have that love of friendship in your heart? So Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. So he is not so much sure about himself. Thou knowest all things. Lord, thou canst say it. Thou canst answer what is in my heart. It's so deep. My heart is so deep. It's so difficult to discern what is happening inside. I think if we know the Lord, if we walk with the Lord, we have that experience that after some time after we received grace, there can happen things that you wouldn't expect they could happen. You can discover things in your heart. You thought, well, I didn't expect that anymore in my life. I didn't know that there were such depths in my heart. that there still was that darkness inside. What the Lord is revealing now to me, it seems that Peter has learned in that way. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And he's still using that lower word. He is only using that word three times of a love of friendship. Yeah, he couldn't deny. So what can the Lord do with such a man? Such a man that is not so very sure of himself. Well, the Lord can use him. Such a man that has denied him. Yeah. The Lord can use such people in his service. Isn't this such a deep, comforting history? I don't know your history. I don't know how your life is. I don't know everything that happened in your young lives. But the Lord is so gracious and forgiving. He's willing to use people like me. I've sinned so much against the Lord. I'm very ashamed about that. And he's still willing to use me. He was willing to use Peter. So wouldn't he be willing to use you? Can this history not comfort you and encourage you? What a gracious Lord we have. What a Savior. Do you know him? Do you love him? Maybe you're not so sure. Could be. He can give you that assurance. But would you deny that you love him? And he is the one that is making it sure in the heart of Peter. He is restoring him. And he is the same today. He can do that to you. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 87, stanza 1 till 3. 87, stanza 1. Jehovah, his throne on high, looks down with clear and searching eye on all that dwell below. 87, stanza 1 till 3. congregation, we can read in the letter of James that the living faith is working by love. And the Lord is giving a task to Peter, who is confessing his love to the Lord. Oh, what a deep confession of faith we read here in this scripture part. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. He knows that he cannot hide anything before the Lord, and he doesn't want to hide anything anymore. I hope we can all say that. How foolish we are when we think we can hide things before the Lord, when we try to hide things before the Lord. And don't we do that many times, that we like to give the impression to others that we are better than we are, that we can make even a show of our religious life, while the Lord, with his searching eyes, is seeing everything in our hearts and lives. And Peter, he loves it that the Lord knows everything. And he still can say, thou knowest that I love thee. Yeah, the Lord knows everything. He sees everything. So what does it mean to you that the Lord sees everything? Maybe sometimes we use it as parents, that we say, well, my boy, my son, my daughter, you know, the Lord sees everything. And we use it as a warning. So be careful what you do. But did you see it in another way? Oh, how good it is that the Lord sees everything. So that I'm never without his eyes upon me. Does it comfort you? I cannot be in any place where he will not see me, protect me, keep me. Do you have that living faith in your heart? Isn't that a nice way, you know, when you have to watch against sin, but then you know that the Lord is able to keep you from sin, and you trust in him. You expect it from him. That's the only way to be kept from sin. If you walk in his strength and in that faith, resting in him. And the Lord is willing to use people, although he doesn't need people. He can do everything in his own might and strength in a direct way. So we should never think in a proud way, well, you know, what would the Lord do without me? No, he doesn't need me. But he is willing to use us, you, wherever you are in society or in the service of the Lord. And he is giving a task to Peter, and he is mentioning three times. The first time he says, feed my lambs. And the second time he says, feed my sheep. And the third time, feed my sheep. But again, in the Greek, there's a difference in those words. The first time, feed my lambs, is really to feed them so that they might eat. And the second time, when he said, feed my sheep, there's a word that means more the work of a shepherd, like protecting the sheep, protecting against wolves or any danger that could happen. Protect my sheep. And the third word is again, feed my sheep. Let them eat. So those fishermen, and we saw in the first part of the chapter, they have to catch men so that souls will be saved by the power of the word to proclaim the gospel to sinners, to enemies, like catching fish, catching men in the nets of the gospel. But now they not only have to be fishermen, they also have to be shepherds. Yeah, that's the thing to think about. When we are used by the Lord, and it's not only office bearers that are used by the Lord. No, wherever we are in society, as a teacher, or in the office anywhere, or in factory, or where you are working, There's a task. We say there's an office of the believers to proclaim the name of the Lord, to show His mercy, and that I may see the love of Christ in your life. But then it's not only about catching souls to be saved, but there's another task. It's like being a shepherd. There are those that are touched by the word, but that need guidance and being fed and being protected. And oh, that's an important task that Peter is receiving here. Feed my lambs. There are those small ones he has to take care of so that they might eat from the word and grow strong to the glory of the Lord in trusting Him. There are those that are grown up. Feed my sheep or protect them. He has to be aware that the devil is going around like a roaring lion, and to warn them against his sneers and attacks. And feed my sheep. Those that are grown up still need the word. We all need it. Every time again, we need the power of the word to our hearts and souls. What a task. And if you know the power of the gospel in your heart, you will love it to be used in that way. Oh, you will have a desire that others will know this Savior, will know this Holy Spirit in their hearts, will know that joy of forgiveness of sin, will have that life to the glory of the Lord. And the Lord could use Peter. Yeah, that's clear. So none of us should say, no, I'm too sinful. I've done such wrong things. I'm unusable. No. Paul was usable in the hands of the Lord. He persecuted the church. He was such a mighty instrument in the hands of the Lord. Yeah. Yeah, he was mighty in resisting the Lord. And then when the Lord changed him, he was still mighty in the hands of the Lord, in serving the Lord. Peter is used by the Lord. And then the Lord is going to be used by the Lord. And then the Lord is teaching him about what would happen. When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. So that's a task. That's a demand to follow Christ. And that means to take his cross behind him. Are you willing to do that? It's only love in your heart that can make you willing to do that. To know Christ is not only joy, but it's at the same time taking your cross upon you and being hated in this world by the enemies of Christ. And experience persecution in a certain way, maybe not physically, but then in another way, it will be there. There will be a pressure in this world to make you do the things of the world and stop serving the Lord. So are you willing to take the cross upon yourself, upon your shoulder, to follow Christ? You see what he suffered? We never can, we never have to suffer so deep if we are in him, but still some of his suffering will be our part. We have to take it upon, the Lord will put it upon our shoulders, and we have to bear it with joy, because it's an honor to follow the Lord and to be made like him, to be renewed to his image. And it would be very literally true to Peter. They say there's written in history that he is crucified in Rome in the year 64 after Christ. And some say he was crucified with his head down. because he didn't want to be crucified in the same way. He thought himself to be unworthy to die in the same way as his Lord. Yeah, we should be prepared for suffering when we follow Christ. Are we? Are we? Not in our own strength, we cannot. But the Lord is so strong and powerful that he is maintaining those that suffer, sustaining, supporting them, keeping them in his mighty hands. I remember that father who lost his son of 7 years in one night, and the tears were over his cheeks. When we visited him, he said, "Oh, the Lord has been beating us with one hand, but he is supporting and bearing us with his other hand. The Lord is at my side when I'm suffering for the Lord, and he will not allow you to perish if you love him, if you follow him, and even that he is working in your heart, that faith and that love." Oh, Peter has learned his lesson. What a grace it is. He is writing about it. He is writing in his letter about it. And he is accepting this task, and he is giving it to others. He's writing in 1 Peter 5, verse 2, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind." Not to have gain in this world, no. What you will receive is suffering, reproach, hate, be scorned, but still the glory of Christ will be in your heart. Like the apostles experienced it, an honor to be beaten, to suffer for the Lord. Oh, and the Lord, he says in his words, it's only a short time, and then he will bring you in his eternal glory to be with him. Amen. Before we go to the confession of the faith, let us sing Psalter 394, stanza 1 till 3. 394, stanza 1. "I will extol thee, O my God, and praise thee, O my King. Yea, every day and evermore thy praises I will sing." 394, stanza 1 till 3. congregation, five young persons have expressed a desire to confess the faith, and the consistory has heard them and accepted their desire. And now the moment has come. Andrew, Malia, Alison, Rachel, and Anna, to confess your faith here in the midst of the congregation and before the face of the Lord. And so I ask you to stand up from the pew and to answer the following four questions. First question: do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church, which you have learned, heard, and confessed, to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation, conforming with the sacred scriptures? Second question: do you promise by the grace of God to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine and to live and die in accordance therewith? Third question: do you promise at all times to conduct yourself conformably to this doctrine faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and to adorn your confession with good works? Fourth question: do you promise that you will submit to admonition, correction, and church discipline in the event, which God forbid, that you may become delinquent either in doctrine or in life? What is your answer, Andrew Charles Barnett? Andrew, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Psalm 34, verse 15. What is your answer, Malia Joy Basin? Malia, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Psalm 37, verse 5. What is your answer, Alison Jose Burkel? Alison, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 14. What is your answer, Rachel Claire Hoogmoed? Rachel, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Psalm 32, verse 8. What is your answer, Anna Joy Vanderboon? Anna, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55, verse 22. Dear young friends, it's a joy for me to be here this morning in this service and to hear those answers from you. We have had a season of teaching, and the Lord has given us now this service. It's really his goodness that you can be here this morning, and we pray for you that the Lord will fill you with the Holy Spirit, and he is so willing. I'm sure I've experienced that in my life. If I look back and I think, well, what I knew and how many, or should I say less, certainty I had when I confessed faith, but still I did. I couldn't deny the Lord, and the Lord was guiding me and teaching me. So I have that expectation and trust that the Lord will help you and guide you. And yeah, maybe you would say, well, so now it's finished, you know, we've had this season, and now we have had the confession of the faith. But I don't know about how it goes here, but in the Netherlands we say, well, now it starts. We say, welcome in the fight of faith. Because there will be a fight. And it could be that you already have experienced that. The Lord will attack you. He doesn't like it when the Lord will receive the glory in your life. He doesn't like that. He would like you to fall in sin and to doubt the Lord and to go your own way. But if you have that desire by the Word and the Spirit to follow Him, yeah, He will attack you. But still, the Lord will protect you if you trust in Him, expect it from Him, and cry out to Him. And Christ has victory. He conquered Satan and death and sin. So you shouldn't be desperate or discouraged, but I would like to encourage you. And I would also like to give you a few words from, let's take them from Peter, who had to learn so much after he started to follow the Lord, and the Lord in His grace came back to him when he had been falling. And that can happen in our lives, in your life. But then trust the Lord and cry for grace, and He will restore you and recover you. And then Peter says in his letter, the first letter, the fifth chapter, he is giving teaching. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Congregation, what a blessing it is that we can have this service. I hope you are having that amazing amazement in your heart, that you think, well, how good is the Lord? We do not deserve it as a congregation, as a church. No. There's nothing in us. It's only the faithfulness of God. That He is so good that He is giving us five young persons confessing the faith this morning. And oh, we pray, let them be received in our midst as confessing members and being bared by prayer. I hope you pray for them. And I hope you give them an example of godliness, that they might see it in your life, what it means to follow the Lord steadfast. That they see it. And that the Lord will keep His church in that way from generation to generation. Let us now sing to those new confessing members. Stand up and sing Psalter 428, stanza 5. And I would like to change it a little bit. 428, stanza 5, O teach, and there's written me, but we sing them, Lord, the way that they should go. So everywhere where it's written I, we sing they. O teach them, Lord, the way that they should go, then shall thy servants walk therein forever. Give understanding all thy paths to know, then shall they keep thy law with zealous fervor. Instruct them in thy perfect will, and lo, they shall observe it with their whole endeavor. We sing 428, stanza 5, a little bit changed, where we stand up. Let us bow our heads and pray together now. Gracious and glorious God, Thou art living in heaven, and still heaven cannot contain Thee. Thou art the eternal God, from everlasting to everlasting, without beginning and without end. Thou art a God that art omniscient, Thou knowest all things, and Thou art the God that art searching our hearts. O Lord, and if Thou would do with us according to whom we are in ourselves, we cannot stand before Thee, we cannot exist, we have to perish for all eternity. Oh, but in Thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a shelter place. There is salvation for the worst of sinners. And Lord, it is for free, it is by grace. And we pray to work that faith in our hearts. We cannot prepare ourselves, but prepare us to flee to Christ. Draw us with love to Him, to find everything we need in Him, and everything we need to serve, to find it in Him, so that we can offer Thee what we receive from Thee, so that Thou would receive all the glory in heaven and on earth. Lord, we pray to bless those new confessing members. Be with them. We pray for Andrew, Malia, Allison, for Rachel and Anna. Lord, guide them and fill them with the Holy Spirit, so that they might know Christ, know Him more and more, love Him with their whole hearts. O Lord, and that will make the cross an easy burden, that we will bear it with joy when we see His unspeakable love. He who sacrificed Himself, who left the glory of heaven to be cursed on earth, to be killed by the cruel hands of man. Oh, we did it with our sins. Oh, that we might humble ourselves to be useful instruments in Thy hands. Lord, we thank Thee for this service. Bless it to our souls. What a blessing it is for parents, for grandparents, for siblings, for other relatives, to see how their beloved ones confess the faith. It's Thy goodness, O God. Let Thy name be praised, be honored, be glorified in their lives, in our all hearts and lives. Be with us when we go home. Help us, protect us, especially when we feel weak. We pray for Mr. Denzel, and who's in the rest home, could be here this morning. We thank Thee for that. Pray for Mrs. Quakel, who's at home listening. Be with her and her husband. Help and bless them. We thank Thee that Thou hast kept my wife safe on the trip to the Netherlands and brought her back to us as a family. Thou art so good and gracious, O Lord. We do not deserve all the goodness that we receive. Thou hast been good from the very beginning of our lives, giving the sign of baptism in the name of the Triune God, and teaching us when we grew up, and now giving that these young people were confessing, Lord, it's all Thy goodness. We thank Thee. Forgive us all our sins. We pray it for Christ's sake. Amen.